Order's on.
I can't believe Jimbo is on.
You ready?
Here we go. I'd like to open the Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township meeting October 23rd, 2018 to order. I request a moment of silence and a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Roll call, Joe.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay, did everyone read the October 9th, 2018 minutes? I didn't see anything wrong. Bo, did you catch anything?
No, I didn't look at these yet. I'm just going to skim over them quick.
Not much in them, but...
Oh, there's something there to read. I composed that quite nicely in my spelling errors. And Mark will find.
Those were just our papers, you know, that stuff in the desk.
Yeah, that's good. Kind of figured I looked at them like, so what do we do with them?
Okay.
When you get time, I need a motion to approve the October 23rd, 2018 minutes.
I can approve the October 9th board minutes. Make a motion.
And I can't really second. I wasn't here.
You can, but I will.
Okay.
I learned that in a meeting. You actually can. But
oh, because I can second minutes I wasn't here for.
Yeah, you okay. Actually can.
Okay.
I second it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, we'll go on to Joel, fiscal officer's report.
Well, let's start with the easy one. Receipts from last meeting till tonight, we just collected the donations that we made for the
$26
for the signs. So that's deposited to the bank, totaling $104 even. There's some other checks that have come in, and I'll just deposit those here shortly. But you'll see something more. Payments made from last meeting till tonight. You have your payment listing, including starting from the top three electronic payments, 142-2018 through 144-2018. Those are your withholding payments. And then warrants 16980 through 17046. But I will note we did void the advanced Toledo Auto truck, but that'll be reflected in your next payment listing. So just FYI on that. Totaling $34,623.10. I don't think there's anything really sticking out here.
You brought that out. What was wrong with Toledo Auto truck?
Well, there was a return, and so we paid it, and then... So we voided the check, but it's on this report. It'll fix itself when you get the next payment listing. Yeah. It'll show voided, so it doesn't.
I just did it at home.
Yeah.
Had to return something.
Yeah. Happens. Yeah. And then really, there's nothing too crazy payment-wise. Normal stuff. Mostly. I think the All-Star Disposal had a couple dumps of the dumpster, which they said they were going to catch up on, so that's why that's a little different than what we normally saw. But they indicated in the invoice of that, so you guys talked about it last time.
And that's been getting a lot more use in it. Not generated here, it's outside people been hitting it. So
we're getting it dumped every week now, Kevin, or...?
Here lately, it's been
every
week. And when I looked at it this morning, we might need to dump it this week, but I've seen how that lid comes up, so I'm going to try to get that lid up if I can hold it up, I'm gonna see if I can just pack it down and see if we can skip a week. Because it looked like light bag garbage, so if I can pack it down, we'll get by another week.
We don't know where it's coming from?
Nope. Sometimes it comes in at night, sometimes during the day. You don't notice them, then you hear the lid slam, then there's a car pulling away. And I was gonna comment before, it was nice because nobody was coming here anymore dumping after we went to the three cans. And what I'm trying to keep an eye out for, we had this problem before where it was Ottawa County residents and not Lucas County residents. So, but have not at this point been able to see who's been dumping the extra in there.
Do we still have a camera up over there? That's gone.
Was it on that pole that came down?
Yeah.
Lastly, the fund status report does show some change that Will pointed out, and I'll just make known we're doing much-needed bank reconciliation that has not been done in a long time. So what you're seeing is a lot of uncashed checks or errors made in, like, receipts that are actually adding back into the balance of those funds. Or subtracting, but mostly adding back in. So
we ended up gaining about $3,000 in the pooled investments from last month, Dave and Mark, from them, like Joel said, from checks. That's what stuck out to me. And then I seen a big hit in the fire levy.
Yeah. So let's talk about the pooled investments. What happens there is that's the interest. And what didn't happen, and I mean, I'm seeing stuff back to 2011 where you didn't reconcile or clear that. And so it just sits there. Well, so I'm trying to reconcile each month, like you should, but you still have these outstanding ones. And you have to do something with them. You can't necessarily go back to an employee from 5 years ago in the fire department and say, do you still have that check? You're assuming it's not getting cashed. Right, it's a stale check, but so it'll go right back in because it was never taken out of the bank account.
Yeah, most of them have a 120-day.
Yeah.
You know.
So the ideal situation is after you reconcile for the month, you go back in, you say, Luke, as I'll pick on somebody, Luke worked in cash his check from first quarter or second quarter payment. Call up Luke and say, cash that check, or do you need a new one? And do it before the year ends, because once the year's over, that's that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now you're stuck with that on your bank rec as being outstanding. So you only have one option at that point. It's putting it back in, because you're not going to see it come out.
Mm-hmm.
So this will change again, because we're still doing bank reconciliation from 11, 12, 14, 16, 17.
Yeah.
And that total, obviously, for the pooled investments is $577. $208.35, and then our checking $234.228.00. Any questions on this three reports?
I can make a motion to pay a payment listing on warrants 142-2018 through 144-2018, checks numbers 16980 through 17046, totaling $34,623.10.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Saller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
You want me to make a motion to accept the fiscal officer's report too?
Yeah, are you done yet?
Last thing I want to just say, I guess it'll be my fiscal officer report, is the, we said in the paperwork that you all approved and got confirmation it was accepted from the county auditor to accept the rates and amounts for next year, and so the next step is to turn in what totals we would be spending and receiving his income for the various funds in total, so non-specific items. Now that has to happen before the end of the year to get us to permanent appropriations with the possibility of going into temporary appropriations. But we did temporary appropriations for years, it sounds like, which is not the ideal situation if you have everything in order at the beginning of the year so that you just go into permanent appropriations because everything's good. So we'll see how that goes.
It's almost been that way the whole time I've been in here.
It is. I don't know why we get there, but that's something where we're paying Mr. Robenstein to help us get to some sort of normal operation, because he never does go into this temporary appropriations where he
never
is.
Did. But I can believe that.
So, and there's an option, which sounds like we've done in the past, with an early draw for the various funds. I have to find out more information about that. I think we probably have to have some resolution from the board, and we have to probably designate some specific amounts, because obviously that's going to be money that they have to say is accepted as appropriated money for 2019. Because we have to start 2019 with the money that we have in our checking account and the money we did not spend or that we appropriated and did not use in 2018. So, for each of the funds. So, ending the year and going into the beginning of the year, it's going to be very tight, I think. Some funds, like the road and bridge, didn't spend as much money this year. Is looking okay. Fire department has fourth quarter payroll as an example. That's going to be a large amount, right? And that's going to happen in January of 2019. And then you might even have first quarter payroll that's going to come due in March of 2019 if that payment doesn't come from the county and we deposit it, you know, into the bank. So those are huge, because that's just a lot of salaries, right? And you don't know what those call runs are going to be. Or projects or emergencies. I don't know. I can't see that. Something bad could happen, but you know what your monthly bills are, and that's not what impacts things like that, you know.
So Dave's working you through it then?
Yeah, I really want to be very comfortable with giving the county what we're going to spend in 19, mm-hmm. and that's going to be based on historical data, plus if department heads know what they think they're going to receive in additional income. So the fire department says, we want to get $50,000 in grant money in 2019. Is that a realistic number? I have to ask for that to be approved by the county. Because let's say we get $50,000 and it's not approved by the county, we have to ask them that this is changing our appropriation. Or if we say we're going to get $50,000 and we don't actually hit $50,000, but we spent that $50,000, what does that look like with the rest of the budget? The budget, I guess I call it, the fund.
You should be receiving a grant check from the fire department in the next week or so.
Right. Hopefully 2018, because that's for the extractor.
Extractor, washer, and drain.
The drain.
Hook up stuff for that.
Right. So the plan should be in 19, fire department, total, you know, pick a number and stick to it. If you go over, great, well, you know, but if you go under, that's a problem, so. And what other bills do we have that are large that we don't know about? You know, like the group mobile bill we paid at the beginning of the year was an unexpected amount. So you have the appropriation status by fund. So this is every fund. And this is the appropriated money, so not your Star Ohio money. What was appropriated at the beginning of the year and approved by the county to spend. So there could be money or income, I'm sorry, that's not in here. But like the garbage contract, right? Let me just point that out real quick. Sorry.
I'll stop. Page you on?
Just go to page 2. So we say we're going to spend $125,000 in garbage. We spent $110,000 in garbage. It's the end of the year. So how much do we have left to that we have not spent or that we've appropriated but not spent? It's listed there. That's a purchase order of $14,818.42 to All-Star. So really, if we have a couple months left of garbage bills, you know, is that $14,818.42 going to cover us for the rest of the year? Probably not, because we're paying like $9,000.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's appropriated, not, you know, but what's the income side to that? That's the bed tax for the state park. So I need to print a revenue report, because if, let's say, you collected more bed tax money, and we know we're only using bed tax money to pay the trash bill, which I think that's been the rule, right,
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Always.
Then maybe we're ahead in the income for that, but we only appropriated $125,000. So.
Has the bed tax went up lately, the last couple of years? I haven't paid attention.
I get nice checks from them, but I don't know what the trend is. So the revenue side is only what's appropriated revenue. If you have, in addition to that, that's just going to be something to carry over into next year.
So yeah. Like this year, like we, so for example, if we were to appropriate $125,000 for next year, we're saving on our garbage. That's historically what we've always paid to waste management. And we're saving money now with All-Star, so mm-hmm. next year we'll be looking really good on garbage. Our fund should be...
It's a skewed number now because we paid waste management most of the year.
Yeah. And then we paid them a high month there, too, for that extension.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. when it comes to the specifics like that, that's not what the county's going to want. But to end this year, I can only tell you what I kind of see what comes in the gas bill, the electric bill, the water bill, the cable bill, things like that. Payroll. I love it.
Is Dave gonna stay a while?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is he good?
Yeah. He hasn't.
It's a project for him, Dave.
apparently, he doesn't golf anymore this year, so
it's a challenge for him.
All right.
I see him walking a lot now. More, he always takes his walk. He comes over, gets the mail.
So my takeaway to this is, yeah, I. This is my first year to end the year and to see how we started out 2019. I know how we started out 2018. It wasn't so good either.
And I agree with you, Joel. I mean, I'm looking at these numbers here and these expenditures, and it's looking ugly, you know.
Yeah. Some things are coming to 100%
yeah.
of what's appropriated. See, that's think about it that way. Remember, it's not cash in the bank and then Star Ohio money. It's a combination. It's actually a combination of those two, but what's appropriated from that. So your fund status report lists both of those.
That's done?
I'm not really ever done.
I'd like to have a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
I should have said fiscal officer's report. Someone will second it?
I second it.
Well, I didn't hear you. Oh,
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Mo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
We'll move on to fire department report, and there's no one here from the fire department, so.
Tony just wanted me to tell you that they're still moving ahead on the floor drains. Obviously, when it got nice, Clark's outside doing a big project, but we're hoping that early next month, be doing the floor drains in the fire station. From the last time I heard from him, that was his projected date to get in there. Because they got a specific amount of time once they're awarded the grant. Well, it's once the check actually makes it here, they got, I believe it's 120 days from the time the money comes to completely finish the job. So that puts us out almost in the first of the year, so we should be good. Because when I talked to them the other day, they hadn't got the check, but they figured in the next week or two they should have the check on that. Yeah. And Tony wanted you guys to know that hopefully this Friday's his last day there and he'll be back. So.
Good.
Well, since you're doing the fire department's report, sure. What are we doing with this burn building out here? Do you know when they're going to take that down?
Just that out of curiosity. That has been put back to the people that actually constructed it.
Okay.
And they have not moved on yet.
Okay.
I was suggested that I push it over here so it was between the two buildings, and I said absolutely not, because that's where it will stay till it rots and falls on the ground. So I'm waiting for the fire department to disassemble their building. Told them the backhoe, we're more than happy to help them lift the roof off or whatever they wanted to do, but nobody's returned any phone calls on it.
Did you talk to any of the chiefs on it, or just?
Well, Mike knows about it.
Okay. As long as the chief knows, I guess that's.
Well, it's kind of hard not to know it. Still yeah. Sitting there.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Okay, thanks. Thanks for filling in, Kevin, a little bit. We'll move on to Recreation Department report. There's no one here from the rec, so I guess we'll skip that. We'll go on to Zoning Inspector report. Linda?
Oh, I'll give you a copy. There's a lot of things, but hopefully we can go quickly.
Thank you.
Last Wednesday was a really busy day. I wrote 4 permits out. It must be the winter rush. Boothby's, who are building a new house on North Curtis, came in and got a pond permit. He needed some fill to put on top of his beach field. Clubhouse, there's... This guy is interesting. He is an older gentleman in his 70s, maybe 80s. And he has a nice big lot down there in Clubhouse. He's going to build a new house. And his goal is to build it 3 stories.
Oh, wow.
And then build a separate garage. So he came in and got those permits.
Garage next to it, Linda?
Yeah, next to it.
A lot of them have been building down, that's why I wondered.
Yeah. So actually it's like a 2-story thing too. He had it all drawn out by hand.
3-story, but he's putting an elevator in?
I don't know, I'm like, how old are you?
Yeah.
Then a accessory building, the old Phillips, or the old Reynolds property. Down by Joe's. Up on Dyke. So this is the house next to where we... Yeah, you leaned forward, huh?
Sure.
The house we took down on Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a lot, and then there's a house, and then that's all there is up there. Mm-hmm. Well, the gentleman passed away. The sister's taking it over, so the daughter came in to get a permit. So they're renovating it. They're not adding on. They are going to put a steps on the outside up to the second floor, and then they're going to put windows out on the second floor. So they're just going to go up with it and put a stairway on the outside. But they were happy when the house went down, so that's when they kind of decided to say, okay, let's put some money into this because it's kind of a nice area now with that house going. We have an appeals meeting on Thursday, but before I get to that, we have somebody that's willing to come on board as an alternate. His name is Jason Box, and I guess at the same time it might be a good time to replace Ron Hansen, who's never been at a meeting in the last 2 years. To take Jim Barron and bump him up, kind of like we did on the zoning board, bump Jim up to Ron's term, and that would mean Jim's term would expire in 2020, and then Jason Box would be our alternate.
But on the BZA, these members, like, so this term expires in 2020, how do they do that? Do they elect them themselves, and then we approve it, or do we appoint them? And
you appoint them.
So if Jim comes back in 2020 and says, yeah, I'd like to stay on, for, what is that, 4-year term? Or 5?
5.
Then you bring it to us and we vote yes?
Yeah, every January.
Okay.
The regular meeting, one of them will increase.
Okay.
Or we'll bring that phone.
Well, you want to do a motion on that first now? Okay. So, I'll make a motion to move Jim Barron to replace Ron Hansen on the BZA. Have you talked to Jim? Is he, I mean...
Oh, no, he's here every time.
So oh, he is? Okay.
He's always voting.
Okay, sorry, I didn't know that. Okay, so yeah, I make a motion to move Jim Barron from alternate to replace Ron Hansen's, whose term expires in 2020. And to move, add Wait, Jason Box.
Should we have separate motions here?
Oh, I don't. Yeah. I can do it in separate motions.
Yeah, you better.
Okay. So my motion's on the floor to move Jim Barron to Ron Hansen's seat on the BZA.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Then I can make a motion to appoint Jason Box as an alternate to the BZA.
I can second that.
Okay.
Roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
So the BZA meeting on Thursday is Deb Coleman and Charles Pullman would like to do an addition on their house. And they have 23 feet of frontage, but you're supposed to have 35. They have quite a bit of side yard. They have 35 feet. So they're just asking for a variance. They really just want to add on to the house. So it would look nicer and cleaner. It is a hardship if they would have to move back, because then all the piping, the plumbing, and the heating would all have to be readjusted and a new roof line. And it would look a whole lot better if we just allowed them to add on. So that's what the BZA meeting is about. Land Bank, I just got notification that they're currently foreclosing on the burned out property on Canal. It was ask. On the sheriff's sale list.
There's been work going on that over the past days.
The neighbor has been continuing to clean it up. Mm.
So he's got a barrel there he must burn once in a while.
Yeah, okay. So that's why. Because we had said once we get it, we're going to turn it over to him. He already has paperwork filled out.
Okay.
That'd look nicer, that corner cleaned up.
Mm, sure yeah. would.
Violations, I wrote one out for Yield Loose Property. There are special use violations there. There was a special use permit given to him when he went in there after Dunn's sold that was the car wash building to him. Haven't heard back from them yet. And then on Standard, which is off of Donovan, the neighbors come to me twice, so I sent that gentleman a violation. I just finished one on Brown Road, the Highmore property. We have addressed that before. There's a boat and a truck on Brown Road, and then around the corner there's been garbage bags there, so I sent him a letter that says if he doesn't take care of it, he's being referred to Oregon court. I think it might be good we mowed a lot. There are actually four lots. It was part of some of the blight that we already said could be mowed. It was in a motion. But the bill is $1,100 because it took them 5.5 hours to complete it. Might be a good idea to just make a motion to place, and the gentleman would like that placed on his taxes. So, what gentleman's name is James Poole. It's right next to our park.
Oh.
It's 304 and 266 Rialto. And 303 and 264 North. They butt up against each other. But he was Eric. Spent 5.5 hours over there.
Yeah.
And he used a big...
excuse me. It was really brushed up. So we had to go in with our A-boom mower first, which is only cut in like a 5-foot swath to grind all the brush down. Then we went across it with the road mower to get the rest of it chopped up. That's why we had so much time. If it had just been a slightly brushed lot, we could have just took the regular road mower, but the brush was big enough. It took a while. And when shortly after we started with the park, we used to mow all that just because the park was there. And we tried getting that property at one point, and the owner didn't want to sell it. So we backed out on mowing it. Well, most of it, we still mowed 20 foot of it to keep it back from the park property. So it's up to you guys on what you want to do with it come next year, but something will bring up in the spring. if it's something we want to continue to mow a little farther out to keep it back so I don't brush up.
Be interesting to see what he says when we put on his taxes. Where does he live?
He lives in Toledo.
Toledo.
He knows about it. He called yesterday again. So
his alternatives are to pay the bill outright.
Right.
Or it goes on the taxes.
Yeah. And
then it's only paid when the property changes hands. Or when he pays property taxes. Okay.
Should we wait? You said you just talked to him. Should we wait?
Oh, no. He wants it on his taxes. His attorney has told him to put it on his taxes.
Oh, no kidding.
Because he said I was going to send him the bill for a while, and then he said no. So he wants it on the taxes.
So you need a motion to approve charging that back to his taxes.
Yeah.
And that's at the request of the homeowner.
Yeah.
So moved.
I second that.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark yes. Sattler. Yes.
All right. Court cases. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
When that money comes back to us in taxes, is that listed as a special assessment so we know that that would go back into the road and bridge, or how do we sort that?
Have you got any yet?
Because you normally our check comes as one check.
They divide out. And what they do is they divide out each fund amounts. There is some special assessment, but that's the lighting district. So I don't see where they break it down that much. It's pretty broad, except for those specific things. Or what they take out for election expenses, health department, things like that. I don't know if they even have, you know, when they publish that information, I don't know how detailed they give anybody that, but I can ask them when I get that next March if there's any of those assessed properties special. I guess we've done more than that, right?
Yeah, but the houses, they're not paying their taxes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was wondering. How would you know when that money came in that it should go back to the road and bridge?
Yeah. I don't think it'd be a separate payment. It'd be during that, well, those two payments.
And obviously, anything we do from this point, starting next year, to make it easier, could we charge that time out of the general fund other than the use of the equipment that we bill for? That would be the only thing that would have to be refunded back to the road and bridge fund.
Yeah, because this is going to be general fund.
So you're saying since the receipts are all going to go into general fund, they'll be commingled.
Which we dispense road and bridge money to maintain them and the road and bridge equipment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it isn't something we got to answer now, but after she said that, I was just thinking about how is that ever brought back to that fund.
Right.
But, I mean, there's merit to your argument of carving out the labor cost that's going to be reimbursed through tax receipts, and then paying that carve out of general fund, and then you don't have to do any more accounting.
The only thing you had was what we charge additional for each piece of equipment and the time on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuel and
which we really don't charge them for fuel. It's a flat fee per hour, is what it is. So. But something, since we're getting back into this again and doing it more and more, if we could figure out some kind of formula on just so every fund is satisfied with the money is back in it, and that way every year the road and bridge isn't spending $5,000 that it never sees ever come back for something that should have been. Food for thought.
You don't have enough money in your account?
No.
That's why you're bringing the account.
Never enough.
I'm willing to encumber all the accounts.
Well, can I ask that? We would almost have to just ask the county when we get that check, is there any of this money from those special assessments?
Yeah, because he's probably not going to pay that all in one bill.
No.
And that's going to be over.
Who knows?
It could be 10 years.
Right. I mean, you could get $10 a year over it. That's
why he's doing it that way.
Yeah.
Do we stipulate that when we tell? I mean, Or is that the law that says?
Would he be permitted to amortize that over multiple periods?
Because it gets put on as a lump sum.
I was assuming that he wanted it on his property taxes so that he could then claim the entire property tax bill for tax benefits as a deduction.
Which his attorney's probably doing him a favor.
Yeah.
On that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Court cases. The property at should be 221 East and 642 Donovan. Both of those have been closed, but they have an April 1st close date. So between now and April 1st, they need to remain in compliance.
And
so I'll revisit it in March, both properties.
So to ensure that they remain in compliance, are you planning, do you have a schedule of drive-bys or periodic visits between now and April 1?
No, I don't have a schedule. I did call a property owner across the street and say, if you see anything, please let me know. So, I mean, I could do a monthly, but I hadn't thought about scheduling monthly. I just want to make sure I get there ahead of time so we can file it or we can open the file back up. All I have to do is call her and let her know.
Is she going to get rid of the boats, or is that in stipulation?
Well, they're cleaning them up over there. They cut all that, up on Cooley there?
Mm-hmm.
They cut all that brush out of the growing. I mean, they're in the process of, I wouldn't say it's all gone, but somebody's been in there. I was just down there yesterday picking up one of Charlie's buddies, and they're cutting all the brush out of them. You can actually see over half the boats now.
Like, right at
these are all those.
No, I'm talking Wilhelms. That's what Dave was asking. Yeah.
Yeah, those red ones.
And you can see about half the boats now. So, I mean, they are making an attempt at whether she's going to sell them, try and get them sold, or get them dug out, but. Whoever's doing it, he's putting in a lot of work because he's cutting all that nasty stuff out of there and getting to them. So
she has till November 27th to clear the boats out.
Okay.
That one isn't.
Oh, they are going to go.
Well, Wilhelms isn't one of the ones that have a 6-month window. Hers is.
So it's just East and Donovan. Okay. With respect to those two, given human nature, it would, if there were periodic brief check-ins just to let those property owners know, good job, keep going, periodic encouragement, that would help them remain in compliance as opposed to,
of course,
I don't hear anything for 6 months, so nobody really cares.
I kind of act that way too because the penalty is retroactive, so it's $100 a day fine. But we'll be nice to the property owners.
Well, out of fairness to
but that is the ruling. If they're found in violation, it goes back to the last court date. So November 27th is the last one, the Wilhelm, and that is their last court date, so they need to be in compliance.
So she has a month to finish cleaning that up, okay. Yeah. And you've got a visit plan before then and all that, great.
I go by there quite a bit. She doesn't want to get rid of the boats, but hopefully they are going to get rid of the boats.
Hopefully she can sell them off.
Yeah.
They've been there for 60 years.
You just got to remove them from the bottom, is that what it is, get rid of them? Because they used to stack them all up top on the stones by the house.
Yeah, they're not being used. So there's no licenses on them.
If she removes them from the bottom and stacks them nicely up top, is that in compliance?
No.
Got to be gone.
They got to be gone.
Good.
They have done really everything else on the list. It's just the boats that they need to deal with. Okay. So as far as the zoning board goes, something came through in July, and I'll go ahead and just read what it is. The zoning commission has requested, so our zoning board has requested an amendment to the zoning resolution. The changes include replacing all reference of special use permits with conditional use permits, while updating the process authority and submittal requirements throughout the township zoning resolution. because that goes in a lot of different spots. The Ohio Revised Code was amended in 2007, granting final authority to the Township Board of Zoning Appeals. Right now, it goes to the Zoning Board, special use. But it really should be now because of the Ohio Revised Code. Since 2007, Harding, Monclova, Springfield, Sylvania, and the last one was Spencer in Lucas County have amended their zoning resolutions from special use to conditional use permit in an ongoing effort to remain current with the ORC. The Plan Commission is reviewing ours in November, so I'm going to put a tentative township public meeting at the regular zoning meeting for Wednesday, December 5th, but I want to see what the Plan Commission, their ruling is. I don't see it being any different because Spencer just did theirs. So I just mirrored it off of Spencer's and turned it into the county to review it.
So what does this mean to go from special use permit to conditional use permit?
It's just the wording.
Okay, it isn't going to affect how long it lasts or no. any of the conditions. Mm-hmm. Okay. No.
And so then, it's just changing the name and then putting the legal or the final authority on the BZA
rather than the zoning
board.
Mm. Okay.
So the final decision goes to the BZA, is what you're saying. So what? Give me an example of something that we have in a township that has a special use permit now.
A loose structure.
Oh, that's a special use.
Yeah.
That isn't a variance.
Right.
So like I have a variance at mine through the BZA.
Well, technically you got a special use permit. It could have been called a variance, too. They use a lot of different names.
Okay. So it's a special use permit for that. And now, with it being just changed to a conditional use, it's just a wording. There's no stipulations, anything different.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just in title only and who has final authority.
And this is to bring us into compliance with where many of the other townships are going.
Yeah.
With respect to ORC. Okay.
Right.
It certainly seems reasonable.
Yeah.
So, just real quick, when you're saying the final decision goes to the BZA, that's on whether or not a special use permit is granted, and then they also have the authority to revoke the special use permit if it's not being okay. Right. Instead of the zoning board doing it, it's all BZA.
All BZA.
Okay. Makes sense.
Which does make sense because they deal with
certain cases.
The issues. Yeah. The zoning board is really supposed to only deal with the zoning resolution.
So that'll mean that the zoning board won't be dealing with any particular requests. They'll simply be dealing with here's how the regulations read.
Right.
And the BZA will then be interpreting those in with respect to these conditional use permits.
Right.
I'll move for approval.
I can second that.
Roll call, Bill Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Settler?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, I call them investigations. Dollar General, I contacted them via email. They wanted pictures, and it was a nice day, so I complied. They had 4 fence panels laying in the grass, and the grass is like 12 inches tall in the back. The fences have been repaired. They still need to, and I'm going to email them again tomorrow. The problem is they didn't grade before they put the fences in. So you can't mow on the outside of the fence. Can't really mow on the inside of the fence either. Mm. Because you take a mower in there and you bog it down big time. So they need to go back in and grade that and level it out.
Has that been communicated to them as to what they're going to need to do to fix that properly?
I did the first one, and they were going to send their property maintenance people out. So that's why I said they got the fences fixed. And it looks like they mowed again in the front, but they didn't mow anything else. And I think I wouldn't take a mower in there either if I was a mowing. If they were my mowers, I wouldn't take them.
Almost has to be weed whacked.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
I looked at that close.
So I'll get back with them again. But at least they responded right away once I emailed them. But trying to communicate via email sometimes doesn't work. But they've got pictures. The McMaster boat on Howard Road is gone, except it's sitting in his driveway. He proudly called me to say it was moved, and I said, don't you dare put that in your backyard. So
where is this in Howard?
It's Howard before you get to Dyke. So it's north of Corduroy.
Or you get to Lakeway.
Okay.
It was sitting on the right-hand side. You were heading towards the lake, and the trees were coming up through the trailer. So it is moved, but it's sitting in his driveway. So can only get so far. He was proud it was moved.
It was moved.
He had to stop four times and blow the tire up. I'm going to be out in the office on Wednesday, November 4th. So Chris flights that he can come in and do the office hours. That is acceptable.
I don't see anything wrong with that. She usually fills in anyhow.
You don't, that's all I have. You don't need any formal approval on that, do you?
No.
Okay. Okay. Good. Thank you. All right, that's great. Thanks very much.
Yes. Thank you, Linda. We'll move on. Oh, boy, we get Kevin now. Maintenance Department. Kevin.
We did start cold patching, had to stop due to the brakes needing replaced on the dump truck. We did get the potholes on the fountain at the hump. We got the ones on Corduroy Road, and we got 3/4 of Lakeway. There's still a couple left on Lakeway yet that we got to get. Hopefully later this week we'll get back to cold patching, depending on the weather. But the holes were addressed that were brought up at the last meeting. Presently, we are starting the road mow, hopefully for the last time for this year. We've had our salt brought in. The only thing we're missing now is there's like 6 feet out of it. The county still doesn't have it for this yet. They agreed to truck it out to us, so they saved us money to truck it from the county garage. We have put out. We did get the formal bid forms and job description for the Van Dyke Culvert project. But after talking with David on it too, the county estimated the project now. It went from $65,000 to $45,000 now, which the county is usually 8 to 10% over what the actual cost will be. So instead of bidding that out and doing all the advertisement and putting it out longer, we're just going to pass it out to contractors, notify contractors, and just go by a formal quote as the project. We'll still sign the contract. The county will still have to approve it that we would like in a bidding process.
Does that mean that it's fallen below the threshold for bidding? The
threshold's $50,000 on these projects.
Okay, thank you.
Unless all the prices come back at over $50,000, which they shouldn't if the county did the way they always do. So hopefully that'll get started, but the finish date that they put on the contracts was June of 19 as a completion date, which would let them put their grass and all that stuff in the spring if they did it through the winter. So we are working on that at this point. I do have 2 quotes out right now. Still looking to put out a third, and I don't know if we heard back from the 4th. We dropped one off the throttle also. Saturday had 3 trees go down during the wind event that we had. David handled one with some barricades, which the neighbors cleaned up because everybody kept stopping down and wanting to cut it up for firewood. It was into the road, but hanging in the telephone wires. So the one gentleman there didn't want anybody getting hurt, so he went and cut it out of the lines, then chopped it up, and multiple people hauled it away. There was one down on Vancouver, down on Beeler Road, which we still got to clean up with that. I just cleared off the road. The other one was three on Yondota, North Yondota, and that was a county road, but I went out and just drug it off the road with my truck up the strap and got it out of the way. I don't know if they've cleaned it up yet this week, but we had those three areas that had trees down. As I brought up the brakes on the F-550, I'm presently doing that after 3/4 of a day, just getting the rear tires off the truck, because with the salt and everything, and the last time they were rotated, they didn't ever seize them up, or otherwise they'll seize right on there. You've got to heat them and beat them and everything else, so. Got into tearing it down this morning, got one side about half assembled back, so hopefully if everything goes good tomorrow, it'll be back together tomorrow. Oh, and me and David have started looking into a backhoe for winter again to keep our new backhoe out of the salt. Have not got any prices back on that yet, but we are looking into that, which hopefully by the next meeting we'll have some prices and see which way you guys want to go with it. Cemetery, David had a quote, and we're waiting on a couple others to come in as far as the cemetery for pricing on what we are roughly going to have into it with different layouts on drainage and things that they're looking to do. Grave sales have been pretty constant. I had a lady, and has anybody got anything off the answering machine? Says she's been calling for a week and a half. She's trying to buy two graves. She actually... Here's a good one for you, Dave. Because of the labeling on the truck, she seen me pass her and she followed me back here to the hall.
And persistent.
She inquired about buying two graves, which supposed to get with her either tomorrow or Thursday. It's a relation of Anderson's.
We just paid that off.
Yeah.
The logo's paid off.
Yeah, yeah. Paid for itself. How about that?
And other than that, that is all I have at this time, if you guys have something else.
I got Gretel's bid here for the cemetery. I'll make copies so everybody's got one tonight.
We don't want to put that price out publicly since we're quoting it. But.
At least, yes, Barb.
Barb Ball. I've talked to a couple people that are here about the approach to Lagoon and the guardrail. I don't know if anybody's been down, well, we drive it all the time to get home. Part of that guardrail is actually going to fall into the ditch.
Is this on Marius?
Yeah. It's in bad shape.
Some of the stone has sunk down. The guardrail still sound weird down there. 2 days after me, you talked about it, whenever that was.
Yeah.
And it's really high because the stone has drifted down. But then poles are still almost probably 4 feet down on the ground yet.
But they're leaning over.
Uh-huh. If you drive down a lot of roads, a lot of them lean when they're on those steep ditches. The problem is there's just not enough bank there to tie them back, and over time, they start leaning.
But what good is the guardrail if it's falling over?
If you hit it tonight, you're most probably not going in the ditch.
Do it early in the evening, Barb, if you do.
Wait till the ice forms on the road.
No.
Yeah, it's still safe yet. The county inspectors, I can have them go look at it. But realistically, if we could get Mr. Grottle or the Conservancy to lay claim to that and we fill in that section of the ditch, we don't even need guardrail.
But I'm sorry, what do you mean if you fill in that section of ditch?
If you put pipe in there and fill it in, you no longer need guardrail because you got a cushion zone if any car goes off the road.
So how far over would that go?
What do you mean how far?
You're talking about putting pipe in there and then covering it with earth and having a shoulder on either side then, or a shoulder on the wet side.
Right up to the lagoon, yeah. So there'd be no curb or nothing there. Which it didn't make any sense when they put it in, because if you look at the west side of that road, it's just as big of a drop-off when you turn off the lagoon on the Marius as it is if you run into the ditch on the other side. But due to there was going to be water gathering there, they put up guardrail.
Okay.
So if you get a big enough shoulder, you don't need guardrail. That's like right at the hump there at Corduroy and Van Dyke. When this project goes through, there will no longer be guardrail there because there's a big enough cushion that if a car went off, there's enough room for them to stop if they're doing the speed limit.
Okay.
Anything else, Kevin?
No, I'm just Barb's question.
5 minutes, is there anything else, you?
No.
Thank you.
Anything else, Barb?
No.
Okay, from the maintenance department. Thank you, Kevin. And we'll move on to, we go to the trustees' reports, I guess. Cemetery, anything much going on?
I think we're going to cover that under old there. Business.
Okay. Sounds good. Hall rental.
Two. Had two this week. So, scouts are using it a lot, which is good.
I was going to come in again and check out the reptile guy, but I didn't see anything wrong the time I came in. So
yeah. It was fine. All the garbage was out, tables, chairs picked up, floor was dry mop.
And that's a couple of snakes.
Good.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Good.
Could you say something to the scouts and the Broncos? I'm not sure who used it weekend before last, but they don't take the garbage out, but they don't produce enough to fill one can, but they spread it out over four.
We take our garbage into one can.
Would that have been the 13th? Yes.
Very possibly. Yes.
That would have been the Broncos. What I have in here.
But I just noticed it with those type. And what we're going to actually start doing, if they're having a banquet, please let us know. But we're going to start removing cans, except one can with a bag in it. Because we end up throwing away four garbage bags for less than one can full of garbage.
Mm-hmm. Okie doke. Roads and bridges. I guess Kevin kind of did what we worked together on some stuff there. Let's go on to old business. Cemetery levy discussion. Here we go.
So everybody knows that we have issue 17 coming up in a couple of weeks. What I'm hearing is, I think what we're hearing is that there's still a lot of people that don't really understand the rationale and all of this. This is it's a 5-year levy, you know, for a $100,000 tax assessed value. It's $8.75 a year. It's really modest, and there's still a fair amount of questions and maybe negative reaction to any tax increase because they may not really understand what it's all about. So we're really trying to figure out how we can improve the understanding of our township residents around the merits of this issue 17. Any comments, gentlemen?
I had one here about to add on to this one. We should probably put in the cost of the graves for the township people and the out of township people, so people see that we're giving them a good deal, so they understand that. And how much is that, Kevin?
It's $200 versus $850, I think.
Is it $850?
For a non-resident, I think it is $850, and a resident, $200.
Right.
And we just raised that this year, so that generated.
Yeah, we raised them both again. We raised them here a while back, then we put a freeze on for non-residents, and now we just opened back up. Which great sales that I've been doing, I'd say 99% of them have been residents. So we're holding pretty good on that point, but it's narrowing down.
Barb?
What if you hold a town hall meeting, a question and answer with the residents? I mean, they don't understand.
Yeah,
I've thought about that too, right?
Would that be an issue that there would be enough emotion over that people would actually come to a town hall meeting?
When it comes to taxes, it might be.
That was my fear. I had the same idea of maybe holding some kind of town meeting on this, but you know, people like to complain about stuff or, you know, but then they don't want to show up. I mean, we see it here, you know, that we've only got so many people that show up to these meetings. So I don't.
Barb, we were thinking about getting some PowerPoints and us three going around and kind of canvassing the township a little bit. They can talk right to us, and we'll have these PowerPoints, and we'll give them one. And
maybe like a one-page handout, you know, maybe.
Yeah, just explaining.
Something like this that has some of the basic facts.
Especially, I didn't know that it was mandatory that this township had to have a cemetery.
I don't think
most people do.
No, they don't. But that's part of the township's job. Yeah.
That and a fire department. You have to provide fire protection. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily have to have a fire department, but you have to pay to have fire protection. So whether they contract with somebody or have their own fire department, that's mandatory.
So we thought that would be better to go out and canvas, maybe like go on the weekends and you can't get too much done at night because it's dark so quick. And
do you have time to do that, just three of you?
Well.
Are you volunteering?
No.
Oh.
I can't.
You want to head the committee?
my biggest thing on this levy is I'm trying to drive home it's $8.75 a year. I mean, for most of us, it's
$4.37 a half.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm trying to drive home. I put it like this. You go to the Mud Hens game, you spend more than that for a beer. So that's what I'm really trying to drive home. It's the cost is so. I honestly, I probably lose $8.75 a year somewhere in change
in the wash.
Yeah,
in the wash.
People will see taxes, additional taxes, and they'll say no.
That's the trouble right there. The word tax.
Yeah.
To close that, I think the main thing is it's not a continuous thing for life. It's 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be emphasized too.
Yeah.
It's 5 years, not 10 years, 20 years.
Yeah. Good point. We'll make sure that shows up clearly as a 5-year levy.
You know, and maybe if this is what we're going to use, I would maybe even bold these. You know, your $8.75 per year, and it's a 5-year. You know, make that stand out. You know, some of the key words in there. You know, maybe just make it bold. You know,
right? We'll do.
I'd be surprised since that letter went in the press. How many people have come up to me, like down at lunch and stuff at Joe's, asking questions, and people that I felt understood what the cemetery was and stuff. Really, like me and David talked earlier, there's people in this community don't even realize we have a cemetery.
I know. I was shocked.
Where
is our cemetery? We have a cemetery? You know, and I'm like,
it is hidden, kind of.
Well, I guess I take it for granted. I've lived here my entire life. I know where it's at, but I guess you get people that don't live out here, you know, moved out here, and maybe.
You look at people, say, 40 and under, most 3/4 of them don't know half of what goes on the township or what we even offer. Mm-hmm. It's the people that have lived here and the word of mouth is how some of the people found out.
So one more question. Do you think it would be, it would help make this more compelling? So we'll put something in that talks about for township residents, the cost of a grave is only $200. Non-residents, it's $850. Would it be helpful to include a reference in there as to, you know, what the price might be in the urban areas? Like, you know, I think Toledo's up over $1,000, just what I'm hearing. I'll have to call and make some queries. But to put that kind of a cost comparison in there to say, as a resident, you know, graves are for you are $200, and in Toledo it's $1,100, $1,200, whatever that number is. Okay.
Some places it's $1,800.
I don't know, Mark. It's just, I mean, since I.
Where am I pushing it?
Well, here's my thing. I've been doing this now going on 11 months, and I can see the beauty of what you're trying to say, but I can also see the person saying, well, why don't you just raise the cost of graves? That'll pay for it. You know, I mean, that's the mentality that's out here because, you know, they're. I don't know. This is tough one. I did not think this was going to be that tough to get passed, but I think it's going to be tough to pass.
It went down pretty hard
last
time,
that.
And trouble was though we were asking for a percent. We're only asking for a quarter now.
Right.
Would it be more of the approach of the respect of the past residents of the township. To go that angle, to plug the, I don't know, you know, funeral homes sell their products and services, and they make you feel like you, you know, that that's the place to go through for these, this type of business that we're dealing with. But they approach from the hearts and minds, from the legacy, from the warm feeling you get versus the cold, hard, cold cash, you know, cold, hard cash type approach, which is dollars and cents. I don't.
So you're saying, is there a way to kind of wrap that around and indicate that with all the residents of the township pulling together, carrying a very modest tax burden for, and I'll try not to use the word burden, for the next 5 years, this helps keep it extremely affordable so that when somebody does need it, it's the cost of a grave.
Well, you have to explain to a member, I'm out of place as a fiscal officer here, but as a taxpayer, this is the township cemetery. So how do you instill that into the township resident that this is theirs? They don't even know about it. One, that's a problem. But then two, what's the feeling they get from it, or what feeling can you provide to them about it? The importance of who's buried there. And people don't know that because they don't visit their relatives, because they don't, you know, they're not, you know, I'm saying we do because their relatives are buried there. So we go there and visit, or go to Memorial Day service or whatever. But it's almost like you have to educate them on maybe some history or that emotional connection. I don't know.
We're just trying to make it simple. So when we go,
I say that I agree. Keep it simple. Yeah, that's how we run simple. Everything at work. Yes, keep it simple. Stupid.
Keep it simple. I mean, yeah. So when we go there, they won't read that whole scenario you're talking about, which is good. But they won't read it.
Right. They probably
So when we give it to them, or if they're not there, we'll put it in the door. At least if it's simple, they might look at it quick.
But you know how schools though, they like get the feeling of the kids involved, and they almost scare people into saying, if you don't pass the school levy this time, Oregon City Schools, your kids will be dumb. Right? I mean, they struggled with getting that passed.
Yeah, but we can't say we're going to dig up their life.
I know.
There's laws against that.
Yeah. And we charge for that,
We got the dumpster. We just have to dump it a few times.
There's no charge for that, man.
Somebody should go to the fire department, like in the meeting, and explain it.
Do we have a
group?
Business meeting's the first election day week.
Is it?
Yeah.
As
after the fact.
Sure. I could probably swing in there tomorrow night and talk to them.
Because that's a large group.
It is a large group.
Anytime there's a large group, that's where you should be.
And like I said, I'm going to, as much as I don't want to, reach out on the Talk of Jerusalem Township and the Great Black Swamp. I see they added that. So I'm going to just throw it out there, and I'm going to try and make it, we need this, you know, and watch the circus, so. It'll
you want to? Mark was going to perfect this tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll make some edits.
Yeah, we'll wait till he gets it to me, and then we can go from there. So
and
that reaches a big group of people, a big audience. You know, everybody looks at that. You know, as much as I hate social media,
and we should get it on our website too. Even maybe the Suburban Press article too, and maybe this too. Would that make sense?
Yeah. I was planning on trying to get this on the website, and that's fine. I'll find out how we can get the Suburban Press article out there. Barb, do you have a question?
I don't really know anything about the cemetery, but you have a fee for resident and non-resident. Do you limit how many non-resident? Okay, you do.
We've actually shut it down for a long time where only residents could purchase them. And then we opened it back up when? Did we open up this year?
Yep. Hey, it was this year.
Yeah, January.
Technically, you can't shut it down and not sell the non-residents. But anybody that inquired that I suggested that to was willing to look elsewhere or wait to buy their graves. Because if you look in Ohio Revised Code, if we're selling to our residents, we also got to sell to anybody else that walks in. But we lucked out to save some graves for a while. We got away with it because the funeral homes quit pushing people out here because the price of the graves were so cheap.
versus going to North Oregon or someplace else like that, that it got pretty expensive.
I think when I came in about, I bet there were $400 for the out of township.
And that's cheap.
Yeah. Oh, it was really cheap. They were pumping them in here.
Yeah.
Well, 15 years ago, a non-resident paid the same price as a resident.
Yeah.
We supported the cemetery to bury people that had no ties with Jerusalem Township just because of funeral homes trying to add more money onto the top end to them to send them here for a cheaper buck rate.
I think we paid $40.
Well, we're sending out letters, so.
I'm gonna tax you on that.
Yeah. 50 years ago.
Is there anything else, Bo, you want to add on this?
No, I think it looks, I've been reading it and going over, looking at it. It looks good. Like I said, I'm trying to keep it simple on my end.
I think so too.
Just trying to push that price and that it's, you know, it is mandated and that we need it, you know, and I've been, the people I've talked to, you know, I've told them, I said, even if this levy passes, you know, we probably are going to be a year or two away from even being able to start.
That's right.
On it. You know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight, you know, so we got to save funds and build up that way, so.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you. Good.
Oh, I should have took this off, but after I read the last minutes, we did say to do that, Bo. I forgot. We made a motion.
What's that, the township?
The lottery.
Yeah.
We made a motion last time he was here. We liked it so well that we thought we should do it to all the trucks. Mark.
Right.
Have you talked to him at all, David, to see when we can bring him over?
I can stop over the next couple. I'm not going every day anymore, so I was down today and I was pulling some big stuff out. Either way, I couldn't stop. So I'll stop in the first of the week or something next week.
Just give him my number, and when he's ready to have him call him, we can run it down there.
Sounds good.
Either one of them or both of them at the same time.
Okay, Metzger's Road repair. Anybody been down there?
Yes.
I thought I heard a rumor that it was done.
It is open, and I'll tell you, they fixed a lot more than I thought. I thought it was just up by the boat ramp going into the marsh. There's like six spots they fixed.
Yeah, there were some spots back down there, pretty bad.
Yeah, and so it's all rearmored and open back up.
It's good for another year, maybe.
So, because one side of the road belonged to the park. And the other side belonged to us. Are you saying that we don't need to do the repairs?
No, it doesn't belong.
Doesn't belong to us. It's state and federal.
Okay. Oh, so it's all out of our hands.
Yeah.
Okay. Fish. What is the Fish and Wild? Or they call it. There's
Fish
name
and
for it.
They're all under one thing, though. I don't. Yeah. It still has two separate budgets.
Okay.
Yeah, it was through ODNR. And
okay. Well, that's great. That means people need back to the pier now. Okay.
Oh, yeah. People really. Yeah. Temecog, the tools and rules of managing meetings. It was a pretty good meeting I went to. I always learn something usually when I go, and I learned something about the executive going into an executive session that we don't have to go unless we're told before the meeting, Bo, and I think that's the way it should be. I try to tell Tony that, to always let you know before. That way you can figure out what you're going in for.
Yeah.
So from now on, I'm going to tell him when he comes back, if you don't tell us before, we're not going into executive
session.
We'll
have to wait till the next meeting.
Yep, yeah. Wait till the next meeting. Goes for everybody. And we really don't, if it's not on the agenda, we don't have to talk about it. I mean, we probably will, but we don't really have to. The one thing, he's a Springfield, I think it's Springfield Township trustee, and I don't know why he said it right away, but he says he figured most of us were new, you know. So he says, fellas, don't try to make everybody happy. You're not going to succeed at that. And I got a kick out of that when he said that. Oh, and that's, there's a couple other things, but it was pretty good. Okay, Van Dyke potholes, you said those are taken care of, Kevin, right? Those things we had, well, those were just the copies. Contracts and okay. our copies.
Okay, so we didn't have to do anything with them?
No, we didn't really have to do anything. I called them up and the secretary told me what they were. You didn't mention Anchor Point tonight, Linda. I'm just curious about those pools.
I didn't, yeah.
Okay. And we talked about the Dollar General, so that's done. Anybody else got any old business?
I do, but after kind of looking over the budgets tonight, we went back to the, we were talking about the computers. I went to CDW, who we, the township has an account with, and this is a computer sales place. I know the fire department uses them a lot. We could actually buy, we could purchase 3 Chromebooks with 3-year extended warranties, and for all 3 of them, it only cost us $979.
Wow.
Which was I thought was a very good deal for what we're going to use them for. You know, a Chromebook's not going to let you run PowerPoints, and you're not going to be gaming on it, but it's going to let you do some research online. It's going to let you do some Word documents, type up this type of stuff. You know, things that, you know, basically we're going to use. Run some Excel spreadsheets, which is great. So I thought that was a very good and very fair price on that. I don't think I want to move forward on it just because I'm a little leery. I want to dig through the appropriations and see where we're ending with money right now. Because from what I'm seeing on the appropriation side of things, we're getting pretty tight on money for the rest of the year. So I'm thinking I may just hold that and table that till we get some fresh money in next year and we can look into that. But unless you guys, you know,
I don't think it's anything. You know,
I mean, it's not pressing. Yeah, not pressing. So I just would kind of rather see where we're going to finish the end of the year at and before I spend any more money. So
okay, okie doke. Then we'll move on to new business. Repairs to the Township Hall. I got a bid here and I got the brick out here. There's enough brick to do the new part over here, and they would replace them all and fix the mortar joints and everything for $4,000. You guys look it over.
Is that for the whole front?
The whole front.
Okay.
All the way across, even the new part.
So they can chip out,
yeah,
mm-hmm, some bricks,
yeah,
and then put,
yep,
in new and repoint. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's hard to get anybody to do this. I've been tossing this around for 4 years almost.
Well, that makes it pretty affordable, doesn't it?
Yeah. And they're a reputable company, so I've dealt with them before. And that's what a lot of people told me to go to these people. There's not many people, small bricklayers around anymore. So they said they could do it this year. The only thing we'll have to do next year is the mortar wouldn't be dried enough. We got to put a good sealer on it next year, so the whole thing's sealed. And then we gotta stop our road crew from using the truck, throwing the salt on the walkway. We're gonna have to buy some of this other material and probably put a small spreader, like a grass thing, you know, and do the sidewalks that way. But
them guys from the road, them guys are hard to deal with.
Yeah, they're a pain in the ass.
And just so you know, most of the time, other than when there's a big storm and we got an event going on here, we got other salt that we use as a non-tracking salt because it keeps all that white junk from coming in that we use. I buy it through Momar Distributors.
Yeah,
it comes in 5 gallon or 6 gallon pails.
We have to start using that more and more, though, because that's what's eating our brick up. Because up till about 90, there was a flower club, and they used to have probably about 3 foot of dirt there, and they had flowers along the whole front. And when they added on this piece over here, then they took everything away and made a sidewalk there and everything. Well, there was nobody left in the flower club to do anything.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago. I bet you did. My mom was in the flower club.
So we're really not worried about the salting because none of us are going to be around here when that salt eats in front of the building.
So you're saying that's a 50-year process?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I tell you what, on that $4,000, you're going to take it out, I'm assuming, out of 2 to 3 funds to
yeah.
do in front of the building?
Yeah.
You know, because the road and bridge has got the far end of the building, so we're going to pay at least $1,000 to do it. Then whatever minor that you want to get the wreck on.
The wreck, get the wreck in, yeah.
Does Linda have a budget?
It's a general. Okay. Yeah, it's the general fund.
But then it makes it even more affordable if yeah. you're looking at the expense of the general fund right now and getting a project moving.
You know how
we're yeah. going to find it any cheaper than that to get that done.
Everybody you talk to, they're always complaining about it. You know, when you're going to do something there. You know, you've heard it, Bo, I'm sure.
Yeah. Do we, I mean, it's my, I guess, yeah. I mean, it's, this is a very reasonable, you know, my opinion, it's very
oh, yeah.
reasonable.
Yeah.
When I originally looked at it, I had looked at putting up the manufactured stone over top of it, and it was about $4,000 for labor, and they were figuring about $4,000 for materials for the engineered stone to avoid it from getting eaten up again. And then it might have, you know, changed the looks of the township hall a little bit, maybe spruce it up a little bit. Either way, I mean, they're pretty much spot on, I think, too, as far as labor. I know the bricks that they've got, they use bricks from. Because they don't make this brick anymore, so
no.
they basically probably have nothing in material anyway, so it's not, you know, it's a good deal. Joel, what is your opinion on monies this year?
We could spread it out amongst the various funds. It wouldn't be so bad. And it is really bad.
It is very bad.
We've been talking about it all year.
It's very noticeable.
And public brings it up more than we do.
Yeah.
And now you guys. But the other people that come, they just keep asking and asking.
Right.
There's enough of the new brick over there to do the, but some of them are bad already.
Yeah.
And it's so, yeah.
And then they'll supply all the bricks for
yeah.
for this.
Are we still going to try to use any of the existing brick out here from out back? If there's any salvageable brick out of that?
We could maybe, but we were.
She said something. We haven't sorted yeah. it out. I just want a heads up instead of her standing here in the parking lot.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if it was going to get, you know, if guys want to do it or not, but I talked to her on the phone.
She's not going to save us any money at this point. She's given
yeah.
her quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to just get rid of that brick and then we can get it out from behind the building.
So she thinks that really that's all there is, 250 brick there that she's got to replace?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Oh. I mean, it says it in there pretty much. It's, the removal of approximately 250 crumbling brick along sidewalk area of
approximately.
Maintenance. Yeah, approximately.
450. that's
a maintenance building. Please note, prior to brick removal, a walkthrough is required. We will mark all bricks to be removed. Installation is approximately 250 used old common bricks pending the brick sample approval, which they're in your office. Hauling of the brick debris, mortar, concrete, sand, wall ties, and cleanup of job site.
I'm assuming there will be a, provided that there's a review, an opportunity for review to say, you know, for an appropriate representative to say, yes, we agree, that we think that's going to clean it up, which we don't want is we come back later and say, and that looks kind of funny because half of it's cleaned up and half of it's still deteriorated.
Well, I'd say if she's going to do a walkthrough and mark the brick,
yeah.
then if there's anything else beyond that point we see, then
we'll get the same marker and mark all the bricks we want fixed.
We'll give you the marker. Here you
go. He turns into 450.
Well, and that's my fear of it is, you know, we could be opening up a can of worms here.
Well, the day she was here, and she was pretty knowledgeable about removing the brick and not removing too much so the brick don't come out.
Right.
She's not going to take a bunch of brick out at once. They're physically going to be removing a couple brick at a time.
Yeah.
Put them in, then lay a couple more, and go like that.
So yeah, you don't take a whole bunch out. That's how they did our basement, too.
If there's even many in there, it wouldn't take much.
Yeah.
Then we got to clean slate.
Well, that's the next thing. We got a problem over here. We're going to have to, the wall's not tied down. It's ready. It's coming away. They never tied it down. She just happened to walk over there.
Oh, you mean the front wall?
No, over at the rec building. Oh. You can see it. It's coming away from the block.
So they need to pull a few out and replace them and tie them.
We might have to do something. That's not on the bid, but might have to do something with that eventually because it's just coming away. Yeah, they must not. A bunch of guys built that all that were in the rec. A long time ago.
I'm sure it'd be a lot cheaper to intervene now and fix it rather than
you're right.
Until it falls off.
You're right. That could be another project.
Okay. All right. Well, do we want to move forward? Do we need any formal?
Oh yeah, motion? We'd have to make a motion.
What's the amount to? How much? I just want to see if they'll make a purchase order.
Yeah, they want so much up front. Half of it up front, I think.
Yeah, 50%.
It'll be after they go walk through.
I would assume so. Yeah, there'll be.
Until you do a walk through.
Say there'll be a formal quote after the walk through.
Makes sense.
Where? No, he wants to look at that.
Oh.
Yeah, upon approval of the estimate, which I assume is going to be after the walk through.
Yeah.
Then they'll issue a contract. Yeah. I move that we proceed with the next step of this estimate, which involves the formal walkthrough, and take that to the next step.
Sounds good. I can second that.
Roll call: Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Just a quick question: Who's going to be? Who will be a representative or representatives?
We can all come.
Okay, all right.
How's that?
That's fine.
I think that's better that way than just one person.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that somebody's there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
When she calls me, I'll call you guys.
Okay.
How's that?
Great. Thanks. Does this go back to you?
Yeah, okay. I'll keep it. Okay, we'll move on to the Temecog meeting with the trustees, November 13th. Mr. Brown wants to come and just talk to us, I guess. So I thought it would be better if we started at 6 that night, and we could get him gone, and then we can go on to our meeting. Then they could get out too. Then they didn't have to stay here till 7:38 o'clock. Is that acceptable?
Sure, that's fine with me.
Mark it on my calendar.
I think everybody got an email on it, didn't they? She said, I'm not sure if.
Oh, I saw that. I think I saw one. I might have.
Okay, we'll move on then. The Temecog General Assembly is January 28th. 2019, 8-1-15, Holiday Inn, French Quarter. I haven't been there for quite a while because it always went with the meeting down in Columbus. So,
was it the same?
Yeah, about the same time. Yeah.
So do we have dates for that conference in Columbus?
I don't know.
It was in January, but I don't know.
You have the dates for the registration.
Okay.
Because I gave you save the date.
Okay, great.
But we won't get that scheduled till like the month before, mm-hmm. and then there'll be the packet. They send us the packet.
Pack.
And we look at our classes, the book.
The only other thing I got some people that want to get, they want to put some lights in Bono, and if you guys agree to it, I'll call the guy from Edison and see what it's going to cost. What this all entails before we do anything, but they wanted to put some at Grant and Wheeler, Maine, and Stang and Platt and staying, and Platt in second. There's four of them. And it is dark down there. I've been down there at night, and some of the kids are getting on the buses too. So,
I can speak on how they determine the rate, because I had to call that lady when we got our bill and didn't really understand. I didn't understand how they came up with this. They literally just guess on what it costs, and that, because we have an assessment for some lights already. So we already turned into the county to assess those properties at a rate, a percentage rate increase every year. Just concerned that that won't be covered by the assessment, then we have to make up the difference. Because we already turned in a five-year assessment. And electricity's not going down, I'm assuming, you know. So the big concern is, how many poles do we have now? How much are we paying now? And then what is the estimated, because they're guessing, and there's no meter.
There's no meters
on the bill. They just figure out a number out of their rear, I think, and that's what we pay.
Mm-hmm. So does everybody in Bono, every property owner in Bono pay on them lights that are down there, or is it just?
Just the list you approved, which has been a carryover from prior assessments.
Prior assessments.
It hasn't been updated or anything either as far as, like, you know, any changes, but.
I guess some of the older people said there used to be more lights down in Bono at one time. You know, I never went down there that much, they say 40 years ago or so.
Back when everybody had yard lights, probably what some of them are thinking of, because everybody had a mercury vapor light.
Yeah, there's not a one. It's darker than devil down there anymore. It'd even help you for when you're plowing snow and that down there.
The only thing to consider is when you do this, then you got people in Howard Farms and Reno Beach that's going to request the same thing. So if you're doing this, I would have pricing for other areas, and don't get ourselves locked down with paying for a bunch of electricity. Because you know how this stuff spreads, just like on that talk of the township, somebody from Bono says, boy, it's nice, the township put me up a street light. Well, then they can feed off it, which it makes it nice because a lot of those areas are dark.
But. Yeah, well, the trouble is that's what they said to me. Curtis has got all these lights.
They pay the assessment.
Yeah.
It was because of the trustee.
Yeah. That's what I got thrown at me, you know. Yeah. Curtis is lit up, so why can't we have a few? Yeah.
Yep. We'd have to increase that because we're just collecting, we're just covering what our electricity bill is for the assessment for the lights we have.
How is that paid over there? Are they assessed for that, or?
They are.
They are assessed for that. So yeah, we'd have to figure out, that's what we should do, is figure out an assessment then for this.
Well, the Edison could tell you, and I don't know if we pay any upfront costs either. Like, who's paying for the Edison to come out, put up the light?
Mm-hmm.
And the fixture.
And then there's the, and I don't know how they, I don't think their maintenance is included in the cost of the bill, but I don't know what upfront stuff is.
That's why I thought I'd at least look at it, see what we're getting into before we do anything.
Really, the lighting anymore, with the LED lighting that they're putting up, the cost on electricity to run those should be minimal.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's like $55 a month, $56 a month for Bono, and Curtis is like 60 something. But I don't know how many pole lights that is. I don't know, you know.
It's four. Well, yeah, I see what you mean for that.
Yeah, I don't know what that's really covering. And those are older lights too. So if they do put in that, but they maybe they don't put it in something LED, you know.
And so
what they were going to put up out here for us for the landing zone and everything was the same identical energy hogs that they had up there. They're really bright, but they don't care what the electricity costs because you're paying.
Right, you're paying for it. Well, that's. I'll ask them if they're going to be LED or what, then that's another question I can ask. So I'll at least look at it and go from there.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not going to do anything. Any other new business? I used to hit Joe and says, come on, Joe. he was always the one that made the...
No, you know what? I don't have any new business. I had old business.
I need a motion then.
All right, public.
Oh, anybody public want anything else to speak about? Oh. Okay, we need a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Roll call, Dave Bench. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried. Meeting adjourned. Tape 40.